You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
I'm just going to sit there until she looks at me, you know what I'm saying? Just make it real awkward, like, you know. I'm good at making things awkward. Some of y'all are like, I know that. I always say Don't be afraid of awkward silence, especially when you're doing, the problem in small group is sometimes we can talk too much, right, as group leaders, and so I always say, just go with the awkward pause. Somebody's going to step out and say something. Just give them long enough, but open your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. So over the next 4 weeks in November, we're going to be focusing in on rejoicing in the Lord, personally growing in our praise to the Lord, and coming together to worship the Lord. Over the next couple weeks, the messages are all going to be geared towards us being thankful and rejoicing in the Lord for His goodness. I don't think we can ever spend too much time going through and just really reminding ourselves of how good God is and why we need to continually give Him the praise and honor for all that He's done in our lives. There's a couple different ways we're going to do that. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be having messages Sunday morning that highlight that. But then also, we're doing our worship night, November 12th. To kind of get our minds and our hearts focused in that direction. And then also November 26th, that time of praise and thanks to the Lord. And I will say this, if you've come in times past, I want you to be praying and I want you to be thinking about it. And really, man, be ready to share that testimony to the glory of God. It might not make you look the best, but it will glorify Him. Be prepared to, man, share of what God's done in your life. Maybe where God's brought you from to where you're at today. Maybe what you see God doing in the church and through the church. Maybe it's in the community. Maybe it's in your home. But plan to come that night. Prepare to eat some kind of food. I'll keep you up to date on that, whether it's a full meal. In times past, we've done full meals. That's the desire, whether or not we can accommodate that at this time. But that's what we're going to shoot for. But we'll keep you up to date on that. But plan to come and prepare to share just a brief testimony, just 15, 30 seconds, you know, because that's basically the whole night. It's us sharing testimonies. I'm not preaching, even on the worship night, I'm not preaching. We're going to be singing for half an hour, 45 minutes. That's what we're going to be doing together. And in between each song, we'll be talking, just, you know, just reminding ourselves through the different songs of why we praise the Lord. So we're going to be doing those two things. And then we'll have Friendsgiving. And this is going to encourage us to share personal testimonies of God's goodness in our life. That night, we'll remember the Lord's table. It's the one and the most important thing we have to be thankful for. If we come to Thanksgiving, if we come to the Christmas holiday and we haven't yet stopped at the cross, then chances are we're missing the single most thing that we should be thankful for in our life. So that night we will be observing the Lord's Supper, but we're going to do it with that heart of rejoicing. Grateful for what he's done, and then afterwards having that meal. And so today, as we look at this passage and talk about how to prepare our hearts to really praise and to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord. That's kind of the focus today. And so the title is Preparing Our Hearts to Rejoice. Preparing our hearts to rejoice in the Lord. You know, it's something that we don't think about much. But Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. When is the last time that you really rejoiced in the Lord? And then it says, rejoice in the Lord. And then again, I say rejoice. It's almost like rejoice again and again and again and again in the Lord. And then it goes on to give these different characteristics and things that we can prepare our hearts to be able to have that heart of rejoicing in of the Lord. And so I'd like to read this together. So on the screen behind me, we'll read it off the screen. We have these four verses. Can we go to the next slide? There we are. Over the next 4 weeks, here's my challenge. This is my challenge. I want you to memorize these verses. You're like, what? You can do it. I promise you can do it. We memorize all sorts of stuff, whether we realize it or not. We memorize song lyrics. We remember a lot of things that we set our mind to. But over this season, I want us to memorize these verses 4 through 7. And we're going to do that because every week we're going to start out and we're going to read these verses together. I'm going to memorize them with you. Maybe some of you have already committed these to memory, but man, what great verse. Hey, as you start your day, when your heart reminds you, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Hey, what's that mean? Let's look at that. Be careful for nothing. What's that mean? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then, we'll experience that peace that passes all understanding. And so let's memorize these. Let's purpose. Who's going to try to do that with me? All right, I didn't see everybody's hands. Let's do that again. Who's going to try to memorize it with me? Just humor me. All right. write it down every day. This is the best way. This is the best way I do it. I say, write it down 3 times a day, and then pray it in, and then write it 1 time by memory, even if you butcher it. And then go back and cross out where you messed up and put in the right words, and then come back the next day and do it again, and then pray it in. And so let's all stand for the reading of God's word. It's been a minute since we've done this, and we obviously stand out of reading for God's word because we are honoring him. And so let's read this together. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I come to you, and I do just ask that as we come to your word and we just take this time to praise you, to look at why we should praise you, just preparing our hearts to rejoice in the Lord. I pray that you would help us today. I pray that you would teach us today. I pray that you'd open our eyes, whether it's in the notes or not. I pray that your Holy Spirit that dwells within us would connect those scriptures in a beautiful way in our hearts and mind, so that we could walk away today with what you have for us from your precious word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have freedom in our hearts and our minds, and that we would be able to put down thoughts that shouldn't be there, and just really be able to focus in on you in this time, Lord. I pray that you bless your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, so number one, as we prepare our hearts for this season of praise and worship to the Lord, number one, rejoice in the Lord. Now, who would say they've heard this verse before? Who would say you maybe haven't heard this verse before? There's a few. Okay, those that have heard this verse before, how many of you maybe have it in your memory? There's a few of us. It's one of those verses, you know, that, man, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse number 4, we are told to rejoice in the Lord, but what does it mean or what does it look like? When you really think about it, what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Is Paul just saying go around and just rejoice in the Lord verbally? What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? What does it look like to rejoice in the Lord? We often say this verse without fully understanding what it means to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in something is to be exceeding joyful and glad in heart, to be cheerful. That's what it means to rejoice. As we prepare our hearts to praise the Lord, we must first understand what it means to rejoice in the Lord. You'll notice you'll hear me say this verse or this word a lot, rejoice, rejoicing. See, rejoicing in the Lord is a state of mind that we are called to enter into that is not based off of our circumstances, but God's goodness to us through Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again because it is so pertinent to what we're getting ready to talk about. Rejoicing in the Lord is a state of mind that we are called to enter into that is not based off of our circumstances. Did y'all hear that? It's not based off of our circumstances, but God's goodness to us through Jesus Christ. See, Paul, the one who wrote this letter to the Philippians, truly understood what it meant to rejoice in the Lord in spite of his circumstances. If you want to look at chapter 1, I'll show you what I mean. In Philippians chapter 1, look at verse number 7. Paul knew what it meant to rejoice in the Lord in spite of his circumstances. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 1. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my, what's that next word? Bonds. Bonds. Some of your Bibles may say chains. For those of us who don't understand here, let's look at verse number 13. Look at verse number 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all palaces and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my what? Bonds, there it is again, bonds, chains, are much more bold to speak in the word without fear. See, Paul understood truly what it meant to rejoice in the Lord in spite of his circumstances, because Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, was sitting inside of a jail cell, most likely a Roman jail cell in Acts. Towards the end of the book, I believe it's chapter 26, he is literally in the Roman jail. In the Roman jail. And so in spite of his circumstances, while he is sitting in a dungeonous jail, unlike today's, he is literally speaking from a place of experience in spite of his circumstances, telling the church of Philippian or the church of Philippi to rejoice in the Lord in spite of his circumstances. When Paul wrote these letters, he was not sitting in the laps of luxury telling us to rejoice, for it is easy to rejoice in the Lord when all is well. Will we all agree with that? Absolutely. But Paul, sitting in that jail cell, is rejoicing in the Lord, basically having a personal revival in his jail cell in spite of his personal circumstances. This is what it means to rejoice in the Lord. Verse number 3, you'll see, or I'm sorry, chapter number 3, verse 1, you'll see this phrase mentioned throughout the book of Philippians. It's, finally, my brethren, there it is again, verse number 3, verse chapter number 3, verse 1, it says, rejoice in the what? The Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord to write these same things unto you. He's telling them once again that he's incarcerated, that he's in bonds for the sake of the gospel. But you know what? He's not miserable. He's not walking around with a cast down spirit. He's literally rejoicing in his circumstances, not in his circumstances, but in his Savior. Paul had great joy while sitting in a jail cell because his joy was not based off of his circumstances, but his Savior. You know, in this season, especially, sometimes we base our circumstances of how we feel up or down, whether what we think we're getting for Christmas or how things are going through the seasons, and it dictates our demeanor, right? Oh, things are good, so I'm good. Things are bad, I'm bad. But when we understand, as Christians, Paul is trying to teach us that true joy and happiness is not found in how good or bad our circumstances are, but found in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ, there is nothing negative to complain about. In Christ, there is nothing down. When our rejoicing and our focus is in Christ, it doesn't matter if you're locked in a jail cell. It doesn't matter how sick you are or how much pain you are. It doesn't matter, because there is joy found in the Lord. There is rejoicing found in the Lord. In chapter number 4 of Philippians, verse number 10 through 13, look at it. There it is again. It says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly." Where is he sitting at? He's sitting in a jail cell. He's suffering immensely. He's sitting in a Roman jail cell, and he is rejoicing greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, talking about they gave financially to help support him in that time. But ye lacked opportunity, not that I speak of respect of want. He goes into tell us, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content." He's basically saying, "I've learned how to be even keel in my life and not have the crazy highs and the crazy lows, because my contentment and my rejoicing isn't in my circumstances, it's in Christ. And when it's in Christ, Christ is the same today, tomorrow, or yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever." Paul is basically saying, "Hey, I've learned how to live in whatsoever state I'm in, whether I'm living in a nice place or in a jail cell. I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to just have that even keel through life without having the ups and downs, because my joy is in the Lord." He says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I both know how to be abased," basically to be humbled, "and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." But he's saying here, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." He's basically saying, "I can go through all situations, no matter how difficult they may be, and I can still go through them with joy in my heart. Because my joy isn't based off of my circumstances. Did I get that new car? Did I get that promotion? Did I get that house? Is my health good or is my health bad? Is things in my relationship going as they should or not?" Because when we're looking to something or someone for our joy, it's always going to be like this. But when we look to Christ, it's always going to be like this. I don't know about you, but I just want to live that faithful, consistent life where, man, consistently, doesn't matter what state I'm going through, doesn't matter how difficult life may be, where I can have that joy. Yeah, I might be in pain. Yeah, you might be in pain. Yeah, things might be legit, and there might be a real struggle, and I'm not trying to diminish that. But I'm trying to bring to the realization what it looks like to rejoice in the Lord. Because we base our rejoicing off, did we get that raise? Is life perfect at this time? Do we have enough money in the bank? Or did we get that thing that we desired? Or is our relationship good? Or is the doctor's report good? And then if it's not, we just tank. And we live in the gutters. Paul saying, "Hey, I've learned to be content." And I like that phrase when it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, it's saying again, in case if you didn't hear the first time, "And again, I say rejoice." Because here's the thing. When your joy and gladness is found in the Lord, you will receive joy and gladness from the Lord no matter your circumstances. See, Paul was in an extremely difficult circumstance. He was in an extremely difficult place, but yet because his joy and his rejoicing, he looked to the Lord for that. Basically, the Lord came to him. We see this in 2 Timothy when he says, "When no man stood by me, the Lord came to me and he strengthened me." That's what he said as he's getting ready to die and have his head cut off by Nero. He found that joy. What about pain and suffering we experience in our life? Are we really supposed to rejoice in the Lord for those things? When it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to rejoice in the Lord even when the doctor's report comes back that it's cancer? You mean to tell me that I'm supposed to rejoice in the Lord even when it says there's pay cuts are coming? You mean to tell me that I'm supposed to rejoice always when I'm sick and always, even in difficult times? Let me ask you a question. Would you complain if a doctor, in order to save your life, had to cut you open to remove a cancer from your body, leaving a painful wound, but extending your life and the quality of it? We would never lash out at the doctor and say, "How dare you do this?" But instead, we would probably come back to the doctor and say, "Thank you for saving and extending my life." We miss that sometimes suffering is part of God working in our life in a great way for His glory and for your benefit. Even in our pain and suffering, we can rejoice because the Lord is the one doing the work for His glory and our benefit. Okay, so one time Paul's in a jail cell. Well, there's another time Paul's not doing so good with his health. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says he has this condition. Most believe it's an eyesight condition that he's having. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure." And I want you to notice that phrase, "lest I should be exalted above measure." It says, "unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." A painful circumstance, a painful sickness that came to me. It says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be, here's that same exact phrase again, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Basically saying, I had this painful sickness come upon me. I'm praying to the Lord three different times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I therefore rather glory or rejoice in my circumstances, knowing that Christ brought them about. I can take joy in whatever I'm going through because my joy and rejoicing is in the Lord, because I'm made perfect in my weakness. Most gladly will I therefore rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, some might read by that really quick and not see Paul's potential for a proud heart. And our great physician saw that when it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure." See, the doctor, the great physician, had to come into Paul's life and help him surgically so that he would not be lifted up with pride in his life. So you know what he did, Steve? He gives him a thorn in his side to keep him humble from being lifted up with pride. But you know what else he does? At the same time he takes his physical health away, he gives him all the power of God upon him. And when we look at it and when we see it, it says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity," of rejoicing in that thing because it's brought on by the Lord, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." See, God sometimes comes into our lives and allows difficult circumstances to help us not be self-dependent, but to be Christ-dependent. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. And he tells us why. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Not only was he rejoicing in a jail cell, he's rejoicing in a sickness and health because his joy wasn't based off of his circumstances. Is my health good? Oh, then I'm good. Is my health bad? Then I'm bad. Do I have my freedom? Then I'm good. Or am I in a jail cell? Things are bad. He was able to maintain in whatsoever condition he was in that even keel of a life because his joy was in the Lord. Can I ask you a question, serious question? Do you live a life of just constant up and downs? And only you can answer that. Emotional highs and emotional downs where things are good, job's good, I'm good, things are bad, I'm going to dump, so I'm going to yell, I'm going to fuss at people, I'm going to be mean to people, or I'm going to be curt to people, because life isn't going the way you think it should go. See, Paul is trying to help us today to find out and understand what it means to rejoice in the Lord. It means looking to Him for joy in all circumstances. But not just that, we see this second part here from this second verse, verse number five. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, this would be point number two, and it would remind us to live out what we profess. To live out what we profess. Remember, in preparing our hearts to rejoice in the Lord, we must always follow after His example. It's hard to rejoice in the Lord when our own hearts are condemning us because of how we are living and treating others. You know, when the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men, that word moderation means to be gentle and patient, particularly towards others as we wait on the Lord. There had been some conflict in the church in Philippi. Just like there will be conflict in churches, because as long as people are there, pride's there, and we have to learn to work through that conflict. And we see in verse number 2 of chapter 4, there's a little something going on between two people in the church. And I love what Paul tells them between the two of them. It says in verse number 2, I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There's a little bit of conflict, my way, your way, and Paul points them to let this mind be in you, right? Which was also in Christ Jesus, having that mind of Christ, because there's some kind of conflict, there's something going on. And so Paul tells them, let your moderation be known unto all men. Paul tells them and us today as Christians, we are to be known for gentleness and patience towards others, not contention and strife. Shame on us if we're living in the church and we're calling ourselves Christians, brothers and sisters, and we have contention and strife one towards another, because that's not what this verse is telling us to do. It's saying, let your moderation be known to who? All men. Moderation, gentleness, patience with others, gentleness towards others. Why? Because we know the Lord is coming soon. Gentleness and patience toward others, not contention and strife with each other, because pride is the root cause of what? Contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride comes contention between two people. There is no other way about it. And here he's saying, hey, have the same mind. Let your moderation, that gentleness to all men like Christ, that patience with all men like Christ. Well, he rubs me the wrong way, or she rubs me the wrong way. Do you know what they said about me, or what they did to me? Hey, patience and gentleness to all men. This is what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 6:7 says, now therefore, there's utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not suffer wrong one to another, basically? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud your brother. Basically, you're seeing a picture of contention. Two people, two Christians going to the law to judge each other instead of being able to work things out. Let your moderation be known unto all men. 1 Corinthians 8:13, wherefore if your meat make your brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. This is the Christian who say, I don't care what he thinks, or I don't care what she says, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You know, it's that arrogancy and pride and smugness that sometimes can get into our hearts. You know what? Paul is telling us, let your moderation, that gentleness, that patience of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh, be known unto all men. As Christians in this room, we ought to be able to look at each other and say, yeah, I can see gentleness and patience in Steve like I see gentleness and patience in my Savior. Hey, I should see gentleness and patience in each person here, because I'm letting my moderation, right? I'm letting Christ work in me. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Do people look at you? What do they see? What do they see? Do they see gentleness, patience, or contention and strife? What do they see? Titus chapter 3, verse 2, what did they hear? The Bible says, speak evil of no man. Well, you don't know what he's done to me. The Bible says, speak evil of no man, Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says. Well, he's a jerk or she's a backstabber or this or that, and we can justify disobeying God's word. But you know what Paul says? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. How shameful would it be if you're sitting there, the Lord's return, and you're sitting across from another Christian telling them and talking bad about another Christian behind their back, and the Lord shows up? How shameful would that be? Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful of your speech. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, we often forget this, and we want to fight back sometimes against persecution against us. But Christ, who had all the power to fight back in every way, shape, or form, says this to us. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, those that speak bad about you. Love your enemies. It could even be a Christian. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also to him the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away of thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Even to the person that's hating me, even to the person that's speaking negatively to me, yes, the Lord would say, let your moderation be known unto all men. It's not about being nice just to people who are nice to you. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? You know, if I'm only nice to my wife when my wife is nice to me, what? How am I showing Christ? If I'm only nice to my brother and sister sometimes when they're really nice to me, or I'm only nice to the people in the streets when they're nice to me and when they respect me and then I'm nice to them, the Lord says, what good is it? The world does the same exact thing. The difference between a Christian is when you're pushed and when you're tested, that you let your moderation be known unto all men, that gentleness, that patience. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive again, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to other sinners to receive much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping to receive nothing again. You know, this isn't talking about borrowing here. This is saying, hey, if you know your brother or sister has a need, even if they're not nice to you, hey, go over there. Give to them. And don't even ask for it again. You're like, what? So contrary to the way the world thinks, and it says, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. People will identify, you know what? This person in church, man, goodness, they look a lot like Jesus. I seen somebody this morning who I seen so much spiritual growth in. Her face is just glowing. And it's Carol. I just see it. Man, the joy of the Lord is all over her. And I'm sorry for pointing you out like that. I know it's a little embarrassing, but you know what? You see it. You see it. You see patience, especially with the pastor, right? Yeah, you see gentleness there. And that's not us. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And people will know, right? The children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Letting your moderation be known unto all men. Be gentle and patient for all to see, because Christ is coming back. Christ is at hand. But then we see, number three, this next part of preparing our hearts to have, you know, that praise and worship to the Lord. You know, rejoicing in the Lord in spite of our circumstances. Professing basically what we say we believe. But then number three, learn to be completely dependent on the Lord. Too many Christians are not dependent enough on the Lord. It's like one foot on the Lord and one foot on their bank account. One foot on the Lord and one foot on their job. One foot on the Lord, and it's kind of like that mixed footing. And I love here, it says, be careful for nothing, right? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, the more a person walks with the Lord in prayer and Bible reading, the more the person will become dependent on the Lord and less self-reliant. I want you to think about this right now. How self-reliant have you been this week? And it should be convicting if you haven't walked with the Lord this week. If you haven't spent time with Him reading and praying, you know what it's showing? It is showing a spirit of self-reliance and self-dependence. And John chapter 15 says what? Ye can do nothing without me. Nothing. You know what he's saying here? He's saying in everything. Not in some things. He's saying literally be careful for nothing, meaning don't be anxious. Don't be worried about whether it's a conflict with a brother or a sister in Christ. Get on your knees. Whether it's a financial worry, get on your knees. Whether it's a sickness and a bad doctor's report, get on your knees. Whether it's a relational struggle, get on your knees. Don't be worried about it. He says get on your knees and in everything, by prayer and supplication. You know what he's telling us here is to bathe everything in prayer. Your relationship, your job, your health, the church, the person sitting next to you, those that you come in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The more dependent we are on the Lord will be lived out in our prayer closet where only God can see. How dependent are you? How many days this week did you spend in your devotion time? Because if we want a true heart of rejoicing and praise towards the Lord, it's not going to come by you being dependent on yourself. It's not going to come from you saying, hey, I got this. I don't need the Lord today. Preparing our hearts to praise and worship the Lord comes from a heart that is not self-reliant. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, every worry, every care. It makes me think about, you know, Matthew chapter number 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall put on, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on, or what ye shall drink, or for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiments? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Basically, the worry. He's basically saying, can by worrying about your problems, will it make you grow 1 inch taller? Will they? No. But what will make a difference when you cast those cares on the Lord, when you bring them to Him in reliance on Him, not on yourself? And I love this. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And I love the result of some of these things. You know, he's saying basically, trust me, don't worry, let God do the worrying and you just do the trusting no matter what it brings, what it is that you may have going on in your life, just bring it before the Lord. But he also doesn't stop there. He doesn't say just keep praying for things. But I like how he also says, make sure you're thanking me for the things that I've already given to you. You know, when it says in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what am I thanking the Lord for? He hasn't answered my prayer. That's why I'm on my knees. Oh, he wants you to thank the Lord for what he's already done for you and the prayers that he's already given to you. And by the way, you could even thank him for what you're praying for at that time, even though you might not see it. You know, the Bible says in Colossians, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you're also called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Giving thanks, verse 17, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do all things in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord. And I like the benefit of these things when we're rejoicing in the Lord in spite of our circumstances, when we're letting our moderation be seen unto all men, we're gentle and patient, when we're Not self-reliant on ourselves, but literally casting all our cares upon Him. When we're thankful to Him, I love verse number 7 is almost like a, what will happen? What will happen? Verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember where he's at. He's in a jail cell. I'm sure he's thought, is this my last time in a jail cell? Am I going to die this time? I'm sure he thought about many things, but you know what? In spite of how terrible his circumstances was, he's literally has a peace that passes all understanding. You know what that means? It can't be explained. It's the doctor's diagnosis. You know, our pastor, well, my pastor, Pastor Toole, had a sister-in-law who was named Joy, and he used to tell Joy was Miss Charlene. They came to do our revival, and it was his sister, or her sister, and she got cancer at a very early age, young lady, I think late teens, early 20s, and went through just a rough battle of cancer, and she died of that. You know, but one of the testimonies that, you know, I heard from that was she just had such joy and such rejoicing through it all that nurses were getting saved one after another, in spite of the circumstances. See, God is greater than our circumstances, because our circumstances are just for a time. Hey, all tears are going to be wiped away. All pain's going to be wiped away. All suffering's going to be wiped away someday. And we can rejoice in regardless of the situation. And we can truly have a peace that passes all understanding. Do you have peace in your life? Or is it turmoil? Is it restlessness? Do you have joy, like true joy, in your life? These are fruits of the Spirit that we only get from the Lord when we rejoice in the Lord, when we let gentleness and patience towards others be seen in our life, when we take everything to the Lord in prayer and give thanks to Him for His goodness. The result of this is a peace that passes all understanding, no matter the circumstances. And I know that we all go through things. I know personally some of the things, loss of loved ones. You know, Sherry just lost her mom. You know, but being able to walk through that, knowing that, man, we have peace in the Lord, that we, in spite of loss, in spite of suffering, in spite of pain, in spite of difficulty, we can have a peace that passes all understanding. Hey, let's prepare our hearts this season by memorizing, meditating, praying in these verses. Lord, help me to rejoice in you. Lord, help my moderation, my gentleness be seen before all men. Lord, help me to be more dependent on you, carrying these things to you as we prepare to reflect on what we heard. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. My wife's going to come and play the piano. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have peace in your heart? Can you truly say you have rejoicing in the Lord in spite of your circumstances? Have your circumstances been difficult, but you haven't found much joy? Is a good indicator maybe your joy isn't in the Lord, it's in your circumstances. And maybe right now, just saying that prayer, Lord, help me to find my rejoicing and joy in you, not in my circumstances. Lord sees your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. It's not a mystery to Him. In fact, He may be using it to help you find that joy is only in Him. It's not in what you can get off Amazon or at the store or in a relationship or in your health. It's in Him. A peace? Do you have peace in your heart? I had a Christian tell me a couple weeks ago. He's like, I haven't had peace in my heart in so long. But the Lord wants to give you peace. A peace that's unexplainable. He wants to take away that restlessness. He wants you to rejoice in Him. This season for Thanksgiving, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. Christmas, we remember for the coming of our Savior. And the world is going to try to take it from you, whether it's in, I only have enough time to go get presents, or do I have money to do these things? That's missing the whole entire thing. This is a season of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, where we can come together as Christians and truly rejoice in the Lord, where our joy is found in Him, where we live out towards others because of the joy we have in our life. That moderation, that kindness, that gentleness. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you today, but as the worship team prepares to come, I would say pray it in today as we prepare our hearts. Lord God, I come to you and I pray that you'd make sense of it all today, Lord God. I don't feel like I was very clear, but Lord, I do just pray that, Lord, you would help us, Lord, to identify, you know, what it looks like to rejoice in you. And have we ever rejoiced in you? Have we ever truly just had great joy in our hearts because of you and you alone? Not our circumstances, not our pay, not our health, not our relationship. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to come together and truly have that rejoicing in you. To truly be able to experience the peace that is unexplainable in whatever circumstance or difficulty we're going through. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, not just for this season to praise and thank you, but Lord God, throughout the year to create and have a heart of praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing in you, where we can experience the true peace that only you can give. Lord, I pray that you be with your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.